Matthew chapter 28. Dearly beloved, once again this morning, we have the great privilege and honor of celebrating, I believe, the greatest event in the history of mankind next to that of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, it was an event which would forever change the eternal destiny of every man, woman, and child that was ever born into this world. And like that day when He was raised from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has a twofold effect on all mankind. Either it speaks peace and joy to us, as the angel did to the two women at the burial, at the tomb, or it knocks people dead as the two guards who fell as dead men. Either it comforts us or it torments us. Because you see, if Christ really raised from the dead, and He did, that means there is a resurrection from death. Which means if you're here this morning without Christ, you can be assured you'll raise from the dead. But you will raise either to eternal life or eternal death. If Christ rose from the dead, it's good news to the believer. It's not so good to those who don't know Christ. Everything Christ did, His birth, the approximately 33 years He walked amongst men, even His horrible death on Calvary, all of that would have been in vain if He did not wake from the dead. Everything was hanging on that. You see, rising from the dead was a seal that God would accept His sacrifice. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, God did not accept His sacrifice. So everything was dependent upon Him raising from the dead. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if Christ never rose from the grave, if Christ didn't raise that third day, Satan would have won. And we, beloved, would still be in our sins, regardless of the painful, agonizing death on Calvary, regardless that God was manifested in the flesh and walked amongst men, regardless of all His teachings. It all hung on His raising from the dead. He had to have that seal of approval that God accepted this sinless sacrifice. For though His coming into this world would move a multitude of heavenly hosts to begin praising God, we hear that every Christmas. And suddenly there was a heavenly host praising God. His birth caused that. Yet His raising from the dead would not only bring life and immortality to life, according to Scripture, but His raising from the dead would also shake the very foundations of hell itself. I like that old hymn from Paul Gerhardt. He's a German. Listen to these words. He says, "Awake my heart with gladness, see what today is done. Now after gloom and sadness," His death, "comes forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid where our bed must be made," death. "When to the realms of light our spirit wings its flight. Now hell, its prince, the devil, of all their powers are shown. Now I am safe from evil and sin, I laugh to scorn. Grim death with all his might cannot my soul affright. He is a powerless form, however he rave and storm." Wonderful words of an old hymn. He laid where our beds must be made. He died in our place. And we as believers died with Him. But when He raised up out of that grave, we raised with Him in a spiritual sense. Over in Romans chapter 8, let me show you something. Romans chapter 8, very well known passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, in verse 33. Romans 8:33, listen to this. "Who shall lay anything to the charge?" Romans 8:33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge?" Accusation of God's elect. What a question. Now I want you to understand, what Paul is doing here. Paul is summing every enemy of God, every enemy of God before the throne of God and saying, okay, I charge you, devil, sin, the world, even the law that condemns us. God's law condemns us as sinners. He's bringing them all before the judgment seat of God, and he says, okay, now I'm going to ask you a question. He's saying, who shall lay anything to the charge? Who shall accuse God's people? Now listen to this. You need to grasp this. Who shall accuse God's people of anything? He said, it's God that justifieth. We know how God justifies, right? Justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Who is he that condemneth? He takes it further. He said, you can't even accuse the believer. He said, you can't even just accuse the believer. You can't condemn the believer. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather. I like that. That is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall lay anything? Anything. To the charge, the accusation of God's people. Who is he that condemneth? Paul is saying every enemy who claims to have the right to accuse the believer, listen to me, every enemy that has the right or claims the right to accuse the believer of any charge or condemnation is called before the throne of God, yet none are able to bring one accusation against God's people. Now listen to me, not one are able to bring an accusation against God's people. Let me ask you a question, dear believer. Are we sinless? No. Do we make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Do we fall? Do we stumble? Oh, yes. Yet because of Jesus Christ, not one accusation can be made before God. Not one condemnation towards us before God. You know why? Because of Jesus Christ. People say, what do you think? What makes you different from anybody else? Why do you think you're going to get to heaven and nobody else is? Well, I don't think I'm going to get to heaven by myself. You know what's going to get me to heaven? Jesus Christ. You know, I stand before God. You know what I'm saying? This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. His blood is my righteousness, we sang. Nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. See, you don't understand. Christ was made sin for us, the Bible says in Romans. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. To get into heaven, you have to be just as righteous as God Himself. And nobody is that righteous except Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ raised from the dead, sealing the victory, we're raised with Him, and now we have the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Nobody can accuse a believer before God. Nobody can condemn him. Hebrews says that through death. Now listen to this. You can read. You maybe want to write these verses down. There's too many. So I'm going to read them to you. Write them when you read them when you get home. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this. Listen, that through death he might destroy him. That's Christ. That through death, by dying, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's an amazing passage of Scripture. That through death, Christ could destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Who has the power of death in an unbeliever? The devil. What does he do with that power? He causes them to fear their whole lifetime long. They live for the present. They fear the future. They fear eternity. They fear the question, is there a resurrection from the dead? Job asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? That's a question each and every one of us should be asking ourselves this morning. And it's a question you really need to ask. There's not a greater question you need to answer in your entire lifetime. If you die, will you rise again? The Bible says yes. Well, if you rise again, what happens then? If you're in Jesus Christ, you rise to life everlasting, peace and joy. dies without Christ, he rises to condemnation, judgment, eternal damnation. It is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews says once. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. There's no second chance after death. There's no second chance after death. Death seals your eternity. It seals it. And we're all one heartbeat away from that. All it takes is God to stop your heartbeat. Realize how many times your heart beats in a minute? Mine beats too often. I got like 100 beats a minute. That's way too high. It beats higher than that when I think about Christ. Maybe my heart's wanting to go home. I don't know. One heartbeat. We are all one heartbeat away from eternity. What pumps your heart? What makes your heart beat? Well, the blood flowing through, scientifically, the blood flowing through your system. But you know God has your heart in His hand, and God can stop that heart anytime He wants to. Just one, think about that, one heartbeat away from eternity. It's a question we all need to ask ourselves. If a man dies, shall he rise again? Shall he live again? Oh yes, he will live again. None are able to bring one accusation against God's people, according to Paul in Romans. The greatest enemy of mankind, listen to me this morning, the greatest enemy, your greatest enemy this morning, if you're outside of Christ, your greatest enemy is death. That's why people fear it. That's why they try to pretty it up. That's why when they take it to the undertaker, he tries to pretty it up, put it in the best suit, put on the best clothes, dress her up, put her on her best dress, comb their hair, put some makeup on the face so they don't look so pale, make them try to smile as best you can, make everything look pretty, let the coffin be all pretty, put flowers all over the place. Mankind has forever been trying to beautify death. There's nothing beautiful in death. Nothing beautiful in death without Christ. And they say, oh, don't they look peaceful, don't they look restful? And they close the casket. Take it out to the grave site. They drop it in the ground and throw a bunch of dirt on it. And with 3 days, the worms begin eating on the flesh. There's nothing beautiful about death. There's a finality to it. They say, well, Christ said He's going to raise up again, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to put Him in that grave. We're going to roll a big stone in front of it. We're going to seal it. We're going to put two soldiers in front of it. And I guarantee you, nobody's going to get His body. He's going to be in there. Death could not hold Him. I like how the angel comes down, removes the stone, sits on it. You know what he's doing? He's mocking death. He's sitting on the very stone that sealed Christ in the tomb. He's sitting on it as though he's mocking death. And then when Peter and John come running in the tomb, when Mary tells them, and they come running to the tomb, and Peter runs in and John stays outside, Peter goes in and he looks and he sees he's not there. John looks and sees all the grave clothes folded real neatly and nice. At the foot and at the head. What's that mean? That means there was no anxiety. There was no hectic here when Christ was raised from the dead. Yeah, I mean, like Lazarus. Remember when he called Lazarus? He said, Lazarus, come forth. You know why he had to call him Lazarus? You know why he called him Lazarus? Because if Christ would have just said, come forth, every body in the grave would have come forth. So here's Lazarus. And they wind him up like mummies. Lazarus wakes up. And he's wrapped up in all this garment. And he comes to the end of the tomb and he's jumping around like this, trying to get out of that garment. That's why the Lord said, let him free. Let him free. Lazarus said, heck, get me out of this thing. But when John looked in there, all those things were folded nice and neat. It's as though Christ woke up out of the dead and just took those things and just kind of... no hectic, no hurry. Laid one at the foot. Laid one at the head. Wow, what a picture of a believer's death. Oh, don't cry for me when I'm gone. Don't shed a tear. I know we do. It's just natural. We're human. Man, for the believer, death is something great. It's that which ushers us into the presence of God. The greatest enemy of mankind is death, and it holds him in bondage his entire lifetime. And nothing or no one amongst mankind could ever escape its power. Nothing. Because death has a legal claim. Do you know death has a legal claim on all men, on all sinners? The wages of death are sin. Wages of sin are death. The wages of sin are death, okay? That's the wages. The wages of sin. What's the Bible say? For death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. So, death has a legal claim on every one of us. Because its wages are death. We all know we're going to do that. That's one thing we can dispute about politics and religion all day long. Politics is one thing I try to just avoid discussing because that's an endless. Religion's different. I love to have those kind of debates. Politics, and you can run in 14 different directions and everybody be right and wrong. But not with religion. Not with Christianity. But this is one thing that we all agree on. We're all going to die. You're going to die and I'm going to die. We're going to die. So don't you think the greatest question in life is, if I'm going to die, is there something after death? If there is, I better make sure that I'm prepared for that. Because I don't want to enter death unprepared. I had somebody ask me one time, said, "Preacher, what's the difference, you know, if you believe there's life after death?" I said, "Well, let me tell you, this is the difference. Okay, let's say, for example, for your argument, just for argument's sake, that you're right, that there's nothing after death. I've lost nothing in life by professing to be a Christian. I have gained. I have joy. I have contentment. I have peace. I have prayer. I have church. I have Christians. I have gained from believing in Christ. You? Good. You had a pretty good life and everything else. We both die. We go out of existence. I haven't lost a thing and you haven't lost a thing. There's nothing anyway. But let's turn that thing around. What if I'm right and you're wrong? Again, I've gained everything. But you're risking something very, very serious. You're risking your eternity for a maybe. I think you need to investigate that a little bit more. You better investigate that. I mean, just for your own self. Investigate that more. Ask yourself. Better than that, do what I did. Ask God. Before I got saved in Germany, I come home and I was drunk as a skunk. I mean, I was really bad. And I remember my grandpa telling me when I was younger. He said, "Hell is so dark, you put the hand in front of your face and you'll never see it. You're in eternal darkness forever." For some reason, that came to my mind. I put my hand in front of my face in my bedroom when I got home and I couldn't see it. And I got scared to death. And I went to that window. It was a clear summer night. I looked up there and seen all the stars. And I said, "God," I said, "you know my condition right now. If you don't show me that you're real, I'll never believe. You need to show me." Man, did He show me. Ask Him. If you're there, show yourself. Watch. He loves those kind of challenges. Death has a legal claim to you. And the only way you can get away from that claim, the only way you can be freed or escape from that claim, is to have somebody pay that for you. Pay the wage. Oh, and Christ paid it in full. Man. Am I glad He paid in full? You ask me while I'm happy, and I will tell you why. Because my sins are gone. He paid the full wage. And so you know what every believer in paradise was thinking when Christ went in that grave? Oh, is He going to come out? He's got to come out. He's got to come out. Oh, He's got to come out. And all that third day when He came out, I'm telling you, why do you think the graves opened up? You read the Gospels? When Christ came out, the graves opened up. Can you imagine having your Aunt Sally, who died 15 years ago, stand in front of your door, preaching to you Christ? Boy, I think I'd get saved right on the spot, wouldn't you? Graves opened up. Why? Death has no more power, no more victory over the saints. They bursted out of the grave. Can you imagine going to visit your graveside of your grandparents and suddenly there's two holes there and no body? You're going, where in the world did they go? I'm telling you. In His resurrection, dearly beloved, is our hope. What is the world going to threaten us with? What is the world going to threaten us with? Death? He's not here. He's risen. After 3 days, death came to claim the body of Christ, like he did everybody else. From the beginning of time to Christ, death showed up to that tomb and was fixing to claim Christ, and he found he had no claim on him. Think about that. I can't take this body. He has no wages to pay. Why do you think he had to be a sinless offer? Sinless offer. Death showed up in that grave on the third day and says, I can't touch him. I can't. The wages have been paid. I can't touch him. He's sinless. The wages of sin is death, and he has no wages. You follow me? He's going to show up at the grave of Lottie Shepherd one day. I said, I've come here to claim the body. He's going to go, I can't claim him. I can't take him. Why? He has no wages to pay. Why? Because Christ has forgiven him all his sins. He's free. He's washed in the blood of Christ. You know, an old friend of mine got saved in Germany. He was 63 years old, town drunk, American, stayed in Germany. And they mocked him because he was just a town drunk. Well, he got saved at 63, lived to be 65, 67. And in them 4 years, he read through the Bible from front to cover 21 times. In 4 years, 21 times. And he'd stand in the back of the church all the time. Bob Pearson was his name. He'd stand back there holding the songbook like this, singing. We'd say, we've got a special to sing with the men. Bob would come up and sing with us, holding that songbook. One day, going to a prayer meeting, he says, Brother Audie, he said, you know what? When God saved me, he saved a really black sheep because I was a bad one. I said, I wouldn't look at it like that, Bob. I said, what I'd look at is Satan turned around. Satan lost his attention for 1 minute. He's thinking, you're 63. He's already got you. And I said, and God snatched you out of the grave. Well, I'm telling you, never seen an old man look as happy as he did. He just flared up and smiled. I went down to the hospital to visit him because he had prostate cancer. And then they said, he's going, you need to come down and visit him. So I went down to Stuttgart, Germany, military hospital to visit him. He's laying in that bed and his eyes are closed. Hands a little swollen from medication. But his eyes, you can see under the eyelids, his eyes are just going back and forth, darting all over the place. Darting all over the place. They say, when that happens, you're dreaming. And I looked at him and I began weeping and I said, I wonder what he's seeing. I wonder what he's seeing. He's on the threshold of eternity. And I just believe with all my heart God gives him a glimpse. And I bet he was just going crazy at everything he was seeing. And I envied him. I envied him. And his life suddenly felt miserable. And the weight of sin and the burden of this world. And I thought, oh God, that I too on that day might see glimpses of heaven and glory. I longed to go home. I'm not going to go out and shoot myself because that's not in God's will. But I'm not afraid to die. I long to see my Savior. I long to see Him and look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. Then He'll take me by His hand and lead me through the promised land. Oh, what a day that will be. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows shall erase. I'm telling you, beloved, this is a glorious day. And it's all because He raised from the dead and set us free. By the grace of God, He tasted death for every man. Oh, dear friend, listen to me as I bring this to a close. He tasted death for you, that you might not taste it. You know why the Bible uses the word taste? Because that's something personal. Very personal. Explain how a banana tastes. Can't do it. It tastes like a banana. He tasted it. He didn't just experience it. By tasting it, He tasted the bitterness. He tasted the torments of death for us, that we might be spared from tasting it ourselves. Why do you think when He was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Because all our sins and all our iniquities and even death itself was placed on Him, and the Father turned His head. For 3 hours, the Father turned His head from Christ. The earth darkened. The sun refused to shine. And Christ cried out in our place, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And He cried that He would not forsake us. He tasted that for you and me. How can you refuse such a wonderful, wonderful invitation of salvation? How can you say, I continue to disbelieve Christ and God and the Bible, when He's offered you so much, He's tasted that personally for you and I? Let me be quick here. You know about 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, what a cry for the believer. Paul says, where is it? Where is it? It's gone. Swallowed up. Jesus Christ has taken care of it. We don't have to worry about it. I like Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Listen to that. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Oh, death, I will be thy plagues. Oh, grave, I will be thy destruction. That's what Christ's resurrection did. And the foundations of hell shook when He rose from the dead. That's how important Christ's resurrection is for us as believers. Without Christ, I'll close with this thought. Listen to this carefully. Without Christ, you know, death is the most hideous and awful thing which mankind will ever meet with. Death is the most hideous and awful thing mankind meets. That's the most hideous thing you'll meet, is death without Christ. You know why? Because without Christ, death is delivering the body and soul to destruction. That's what it is. Without Christ, it's delivering your body and soul to destruction. It's delivering the spirit to judgment and eternal condemnation. That's what happens when you die without Christ. When you die in Christ, it's a whole different story. It's being delivered to eternal joy and peace and comfort and salvation. Remember the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7? They're stoning him. That's a hard way to leave this world. You ever seen a stoning? I've seen one on film. It's horrendous. Not little pebbles. Huge stones. Stephen fell to his knees and he looked up. The Bible says he looked up to heaven, seeing Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. Well, wait a minute. Hebrews says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. How come Stephen seeing him standing? Because I believe every time a saint enters into heaven, Christ stands to greet him himself. I'm telling you, the first thing I'm going to see when I die, it's not going to be Moses or Abraham. It's not going to be David or Paul. It's not going to be my grandma, my grandpa. The first face I see when I die is going to be the face of Christ. And I'm telling you, it's going to melt my soul for eternity in love and adoration and praise. But what you'll meet with when you die is the face of a vengeful God. It'll make you cry out in torment and fear. And why? You would not believe the gospel message. You would not take a minute to seriously think, will I rise when I die? Will I live? Yes, you will. Dearly beloved, remember those words, He is not here, He is risen. Because that's exactly what they're going to say when death comes to grab you and I from the grave. They're not here. He's gone. Before my body's cold. Before my body's cold, I'm going to be in the presence of God. Before your body's cold, you'll be in eternal torments. One or the other. May this Easter be a resurrection for you, that you might understand and realize your need of Christ. Turn to Him while you can. Today is the day of salvation. God hasn't promised you tomorrow. He's promised you now. Don't neglect that time. That's why you're here. No, I chose to get up and come. No, you're here because God led you here. Remember this morning, Sunday school? No coincidences. God wanted you to hear this. And believer, God wanted you to hear it. Don't fear death. Rejoice in it. Hallelujah, what a day that will be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God, for Your Word. For, Lord, it gives us a glimpse behind the scenes of eternity. Lord, they're only glimpses. We could never imagine. We could never imagine what is waiting for us. Romans says that. We can't imagine the glory that's waiting for us in heaven. But oh God, every once in a while you give us a glimpse. You let us look behind the windows of heaven. And oh Lord, we yearn for the day when we shall see you as you are. Oh God, I pray for those amongst us this morning, if there be one that knows not Christ. Dear God, I pray. Spirit of God, I pray, give them no rest, give them no peace. It must needs be torment their souls, their conscience, their minds, until they realize they have no peace without God. Father, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in securing and the believer, comforting them, leading the sinner to repentance. Father, we love you and we thank you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I wish to thank each and every one of you for coming out this morning, for our visitors as well. It's good seeing you. If you've got any questions, in the bulletin is my phone number. You can call me anytime you want. Our website's on there as well. So hope to see you come back and visit us again. And you all have a blessed Sunday, Easter. Amen. And thank the Lord for the resurrection. Lord bless you. See you next Sunday. Have you, buddy. Thank you for that testimony. I appreciate it. Encourage it, man. Hang in there, buddy. All right. Come back and see us soon.